Hey everyone, this is Bree Hollingshead from Paranormal Road Trippin' with Bree, and you're listening to Paranormal Triangle with Jay Hill, Kelly Schaefer, and David Taylor. So sit down and tune in, because this is going to be good.
And welcome everybody, Kelly Schaefer,
yes.
David Taylor.
Hello.
I'm here.
It's been a while since we've been back in the saddle.
But we knew this. We knew this coming in that Dave was going to be traveling and I was going to be traveling. And yeah,
Dave
we knew that we were going to
be a jerk. And
how was I a jerk? What, Jay?
I don't know.
You won the Halloween tree, is what you did.
Yeah, it's in the background.
Cute Halloween tree.
People, to describe it, it does light up and it has like little like pumpkin ornaments, you know, and plus it also has like some other arts and crafts that you can have, but it's a great Halloween tree. But as a very smart man that knows that his anniversary is coming up, and it's a very important anniversary for my wife and I. It's our 20th year of being married.
Holy crap.
Wow.
I know. It's our 20th year being together.
Oh, wow.
So there was something that was really cool that was in the silent auction. I was trying to win the baseball tickets for the Flying Squirrels. They are the AA team that is in Richmond. And I have seen a game there, and I thought Kate would kind of have a fun time there, because we always try to like do something, you know, we do something for her and something for me. But so what I did for the both of us is I did win the silent auction for a night at the Linwood Inn, which is kind of like a boutique hotel in downtown Richmond. It's ran a lot of the great restaurants and great museums. So we'll probably add an extra night on, but you know, I won it at a pretty decent price.
And nice.
I know. And I was really excited. And Kate's like,
well, very cool. Very cool.
There was some controversy though. Controversy.
Well, yeah. When is there not in a silent auction?
Well, so I was doing the countdown, you know, of letting everybody know who like bid on stuff. 5 minutes left. It's 4:55. You got to come up and bid. Okay. You have until 4:59 to bid. So the person I was dueling with for the silent auction for the baseball tickets, was not there. Okay.
Uh-oh.
So then I was talking around and talking to people that have won things. Mm-hmm. And I went back over and there was another bid. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I get to trail around and see baseball games everywhere. So I'm not going to be a jerk. Have fun. You know, I might have kind of, I wasn't like a Ken or a Karen, but I was a bit disappointed. I was like a bit disappointed. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah. Hey, I won the one that I really wanted. I won this other one, which is going to be great in the background, the Halloween tree. So,
yeah.
What has been going on with you, Kelly? You just had a birthday.
I had my birthday. Yep. It was
she's
exciting.
Old.
Oh, bite me.
We're all old, dude.
Oh, no, but I got you all covered. I'm older than both of you.
Nice.
Both of you. No, we went up to the Real Ditto House and Inn, 1841, up in West Point, Kentucky, and did a hunt up there. And I got some amazing experiences in that. When I was trying to sleep, and y'all would be very proud of me, because I slept in the kids' room with dolls. I don't do dolls. Wow. There was at least 20 dolls in this room and I slept in it.
Not doing it.
Wow.
Cheers to you. Cheers to you.
Yeah. Cheers to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, thank you.
And then I was laying there sleeping, and I woke up to somebody stomping up the stairs.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, what a rude son of a bitch. And I'm listening to find out which room they're going to, because if it's one of my team, I'm going to be giving them a talk in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'm listening and it gets to the top of the stairs and it doesn't go anywhere. What? I'm like, ooh.
Well, that's kind of cool.
And then it happened again. And then it happened again.
So was it like on a certain time? Was it like every hour, every like 20 minutes?
No, it was, it's not, a, it wasn't regular. It was random. It was so heavy of a foot that it even creaked the stairs.
Oh,
It was amazing. And did I get my ass out of bed to go see if it was anything paranormal?
No.
Oh, hell no. I wanted to sleep with the dolls.
Man, see, that's I would have heard them footsteps and I would have been right to the door.
I didn't want to scare it away. I really didn't want to scare it away. That was the whole
scared
thing.
Away. I didn't want to scare it. Well, and the invisible person that's standing in the room going, you're going to scare me?
Well, all the spirits that are at this place know Ernie and Denise Pack. So they're constantly interacting with them all the time. And their apparitions, one or more of their apparitions are so solid, it's a person.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they all know Denise and Ernie, and they interact with them. And I thought, okay, if I get out of bed and this is one of their spirits, I'm going to scare them because I'm not somebody they know. So I just stayed in bed and listened to the footsteps going up and down the stairs.
Yeah, irregardless, I would have been out there.
Yeah.
I think I might have went too, but then I might have had the same thought as you, Kelly, because I just got tired.
To sleep, man.
Yeah, I'm tired, dude.
I just found the spot that I could sleep in, and it's like, oh, man, really?
It's not your own bed. Did you bring your own pillow?
I always take my own pillow.
Nice.
It always goes with me, no matter if I'm on an airplane or wherever. I'll even take a separate suitcase to make sure my pillow goes with me.
Jay, do you do that when you travel? Do you take like your own pillow just so you can kind of like have like the normalcy of like when you travel of like, okay, at least I have my pillow?
When me and Tina travel, I guess, yeah. When we go to, like, if we're going away for a weekend or something like that, you know what I mean? If we're just like overnight, no, you know, but I mean, if we're close by or whatever, but if as long as we're traveling farther away, yeah, we'll get our pillow. Or I mean, we've even brought our own blanket.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
You know, because you know who? What do you know? You know, you don't know for sure what you're sleeping on, especially in a hotel room. You know what I mean?
I mean, I try not to think of that.
Right.
I just try not to think of it. No.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, you know, when you were a kid and you would travel with your parents or whatever, and you go on vacations, and you didn't think of that.
No.
You know, and now when you're older, it's like, yeah, I do think of that. You know, and it's just kind of, ew.
So I do something really weird. As soon as I get in like the hotel room, because you know it's got the four corners all tucked in, I will untuck everything, and then bring the comforter back. And I will sleep on top of the sheets, like, because you know there's an extra sheet, like, other than like the bedspread, and I will sleep on top of that and just have the comforter on top of me. And that might be even more gross, but
because the comforters don't get washed.
Oh, they should though. Thanks.
Yeah, Gary. I know, but they don't.
Thanks for freaking me out even
Sorry.
More.
Sorry. No, that's the part I have an issue with.
Thank you.
No. Pull all the bedding down to where it's bottom. I lay my blanket. I'll lay on top of my blanket.
Okay.
And then if I have a throw or something like that,
yeah,
if it's warm in the room or whatever, use my own pillows. But
gotcha.
You know, it's been a while since I've done that. So
heck, yeah. I just look at it as if I get anything, there's a lawsuit.
I'm suing. You guys got bed bugs.
I'm suing. You guys got shit
all over me. What is going on?
Yeah, this right.
Gross.
Well, I do check the bed bug thing, but I also don't stay in motels that are like apt for that. So
gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's been a few places that I've gone before, that were kind of like, okay, so we had to do this because it was like a really expensive trip to get somewhere. Mm-hmm. And like, so, and then after that one time, I was like, you know what? Slide me what you can.
Yeah.
And we're going to stay at this place. And mm-hmm. that's it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what does this place have? Well, it's going to have a pool and a workout room and breakfast mm-hmm. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And yeah. somebody will answer the phone. Mm-hmm. Like if something's going on. So, you know,
yeah, there's a certain level I don't go below.
Yeah. Jay, did you do anything this weekend or like this past like couple weeks or no?
No, not really. I've been going through some issues with the weather.
Okay.
You know, I do not like cold weather and I do not like gloomy weather. And I don't know how people that live abroad could live in Britain with it rainy all the time. I would just be beside myself. I need sunlight. You know, I'm a sunlight person. I'm probably okay. living in the wrong area of the United States, but it is what it is. But no, yeah. I haven't really been doing.
No, everywhere you go, it's going to be cloudy.
Not all the time. It's been like here. It's been like this for like 3 weeks. I swear.
I've considered living in Australia for 6 months and then living in the United States for 6 months, and that there way I don't have to leave winter.
Yeah. No. Well, so
it's summer down there right now, right?
Yes, but that's why I would be in the United States right now because it's winter.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you would change it winter instead of summer.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that summer is good for is riding my motorcycle. That's it.
Well, there you go. There you go.
I don't like the heat. I don't like the sweating. I don't like the, because there's only so much clothing you can remove before it becomes inappropriate. I would rather put clothing on to get warm.
Well, Kelly, if you still lived in Oregon around Portland, you could do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
You could just walk around.
Portland was great, except it's filled with people that don't share my political views at this point.
That's okay. So. Yeah. So,
I did some remote walkthroughs for a couple people.
Okay.
And you know, doing some research for some places in Illinois and stuff like that.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean it was pretty cool. I do have to say a friend of mine, Joe Diamond, that I had on my other show last year, I think it was, got a spot on the Penn and Teller show.
Oh, cool. What?
That's awesome.
That's cool.
He got a spot on there because he's been trying out for that show for a while, and then he's Joe Diamond, the mind reader, and basically it's, you know, Who Can Fool Us is I think is the name of the show.
Yeah, I think so.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he posted that on Facebook the other day or last week, and I was like, man, good, that's for awesome. Him, man. Yeah. So he's in good Vegas right now. His show, the episode comes on February 2nd. So it's Thursday, I think, or 5th.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think that they recorded it a while ago.
Cool.
And he was able to let everybody know that he's gonna be out there, and he's such a nice guy, and I ran into him a couple times because he's from the area that I live in, you know. And so where I used to do my other podcast show at the Maxwell Mansion, he performs there all the time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think he was just there like last week. So and I had him on the show, and he's super nice guy, and he's very a humbled man. So
well, good.
I'm really
congratulations
happy for
him.
For
him. It's always great to hear when people get something like that. And mm-hmm. and you know, we, you know, there's always the, you know, PY thing that's, you know, talked, or the PU thing that's talked around, of the paranormal unity and
right. things like,
well, why am I not on that show? Well, because you're not a mind reader.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And he's okay. really good. I mean, he's like / investigator, mind reader, medium. He does it all.
Yeah, like are you doing the rings and then making the rings go in fire, disappearing, and then, you know, going behind your jacket and then bringing the rings back out again? I mean, right. it's Penn and Teller. They're right. at the top of the game. So
I've always liked Penn and Teller.
Yeah, they're good, man. They're really good.
So other than that, no, I just haven't been. I mean, this is the first time I've actually turned on my computer in a while, just because of the fact that, you know, we haven't really been able to really do too much. And plus, me and Kelly are doing our cemetery file show on Monday next week.
Awesome, with a great guest,
the VPR group. Yeah, Veteran Paranormal Recon, and they're from Illinois, and I did some remote walkthroughs for them in a location. It was fun.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was very interesting, and Kelly uncovered some stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it was just really good. So, it's going to be a good show on Monday.
Awesome.
And, yeah.
But does he know that stuff that we uncovered? Did you tell him? Or are we going to tell him on the show?
Tell him on the show.
Yeah.
Cool.
Stretch it out. Stretch it out, Kel. Stretch it. This is called a tease.
Oh, it's good stuff. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's really good stuff. I mean, it's really what I found remotely. And it was just, it's kind of crazy. There's a rabbit hole there.
Yeah. He told me about one thing and I went off and go, ooh, let me see if I can verify that. And sure as shit, I verified it.
Yeah. Well, save it for people. I want people to go over and see the cemetery files, and then we can talk about it after the show airs.
Oh yeah. And we've got, me and Kelly got something else in the works for that too. Good. And good. It's gonna be. Yeah, we had a great conversation this morning.
Okay.
And you know, so yeah, things are coming along. It's been a kind of.
You just froze up, my friend.
He just froze. There he is.
Okay, you're back. You're back.
Playoffs, you know, but.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do?
I'm not happy with last night's game, so.
Yeah, it is.
I wasn't either. I really kind of wanted Detroit to win just for the division.
I wanted Detroit to win.
Well, yeah. They kind of choked.
So. They almost did it.
They had it.
They had it. Yep. They had it in the halftime.
Yeah, they had it.
Well, I was busy watching a slot machine roll for most of the game. So.
Oh yeah, you were gambling.
That's right. You're at the casino.
I was at the casino for the first time.
If I can I just give a quick
shout
out to a couple people?
Yeah. Is that okay?
So I want to thank Steve Dills. He put on the Hanover Tavern. Paracon, and he is from Transcend Paranormal out of Ashland, Virginia/Richmond. It was one of the best events I've ever gone to. I brought a friend out from Seattle, Zasia Anya. She's an incredible medium. She does a lot of work for University Magicus. And then I know the reveal was done, you know, a couple Wednesdays ago about Ashley Marino being the new host on Harlan Lives with myself. And she was there also. So we had some really great stuff. But the biggest star, Jay, the biggest star we had was little Aria. And it was Tiffany's little daughter who wanted to come over and learn how to do live streaming. So
she is so cool.
She helped me up and set up like all the microphones, and I showed her kind of like what the buttons and what they do. And she's like, I didn't know it was this involved. And I go, well, it doesn't have to be.
That's but so cool. Great.
And then Rob Thompson's little daughter, Lindsay came over, and it was just absolutely incredible. So that's all I want to say about that. It was an incredible event.
Fun.
You guys can make it. It's really fun. So
nice.
So should we get into this?
It's Dave's turn to pick.
All right. So the first thing I want to say is these are the opinions of the Paranormal Triangle. Okay, because we're going to kind of get into some of these things. So the opinions, please do not get angry at us. We are just talking about what has kind of happened in history through some things. So the topic is going to be,
dun, dun, dun.
Are you ready? Music and the paranormal. Let's get into it.
All right. Now I have to put out my own disclaimer on this one though.
Okay.
You have to remember that I am musically dysfunctional. I cannot name a song.
Oh, wait, what? You're dysfunctional?
I'm dysfunctional. I have no other way of putting it. Music does not store in my brain.
Talking about music. I thought you as a person was just dysfunctional. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you'd be glad you're in Wisconsin. So music doesn't store in my brain.
Okay.
And the other thing about music is the stuff that is related to this topic, mm-hmm. I was not allowed to listen to.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw in my opinion as we go.
Okay.
And I have beer, so okay. It may get pretty good.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Let's go.
Do you really want me to start off, Jay, or do you want to start off with?
Go ahead. I know a lot about that type of music.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
All that. So, yeah. So go ahead. If you have an opinion on something or where you want to start, go right ahead.
So I guess we can start back. We have a lot of listeners. They're going to be listening to this. So the thing is when you start looking, and pardon me, I have to burp. I muted it out. Okay.
Beer too.
Okay. So no, just water. And I drank seltzer before the show. And he's like, oh no. So do you really have to look back of where? So when you listen to the Swooners and there's the great music of and Bing Crosby and yep. You know, all these guys, and then it started to come into of where you got Buddy Holly, like Jimmy Valiant, Richie Valance, you know, and mm-hmm. and then getting into, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, who I think was kind of like, right. You know, Buddy Holly was still kind of like, okay, Peggy Sue, love you, Peggy Sue. But then Jerry Lee Lewis kind of went off. What is your kind of opinion about that, Jay? Because he was like the devil incarnate. He was just going crazy. And nobody
Well, this was a devil incarnate with his little.
We're going to talk about Elvis. We're going to talk
about it. We're going to talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, according to the, all the stories and, you know, for having like that type of music back in, that would have been in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know, and at that time, it was right after, you know, right after the war.
Yeah.
And
another one starting.
You know, people were, everything was kind of starting up in different things. And, you know, and so everybody was still kind of repairing themselves from that. And it's kind of like when that music came out along with Elvis and Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And one of my favorite songs from Chuck Berry is a Christmas song.
Okay.
And
which one?
Run, Run, Rudolph.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah.
That one's a cute one.
So, you know, I mean, even that, I mean, that was an upbeat tempo and all that, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, so how, let me ask you now. So how in the world of the paranormal does that music have its place?
Well, this is where we kind of get into this, and Kelly, maybe this is where you can kind of come in, because you were more religious at that time than I think.
Yeah, I was in a cult.
Okay, well, okay. So what would you?
It's
what
been
would,
classified as such.
Okay, what would the people think, like in the church? And once again, I'm not trying to drag on any church here. Okay, What would they think of if they saw like Jerry Lee Lewis or like Elvis? Like, we can't show his hip swinging anymore. Nobody can.
Those were okay. That was for some reason that was okay. But I could never figure out what was okay and what wasn't okay. The only thing I could figure out is that anything that involved Satan wasn't good.
Okay. Well, that's we're getting up to that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, people are just like, well, little girls can't see Elvis's hip swinging or Jerry Lee Lewis with his leg up playing like the one side of the piano going like this and going, woo, great balls of fire, you know, and drinking beers on stage and going crazy, you know.
Well, thank you for that depiction that told me what great balls of fire.
That's what he did. You know,
I had no idea.
Right.
Oh,
well,
I'm learning in that era
of that, where people, like I said, after the war were flocking to churches and were trying to get that. I mean, you got Billy Graham. Is that who it is from?
It might have been his dad, maybe.
Okay.
Like Billy Graham Sr. Maybe
that's a whole dynasty.
Yeah, right. Well, and so I remember watching some of those black and white videos.
I got a great story about Liberty University if you guys want to hear it later on.
Yeah. So, you know, all that. And when rock and roll come out, it was just kind of, you know, it was they were saying that it was evil and it was, you know,
yes,
lustful and it was this and that. And I think a lot of it had to do with just people wanting to expound, to get away from the restrictions of all the
50s.
Yeah. You know, I mean, all the, yeah, all, you know, 50s were pretty simple, but you know,
it, but there was still a lot of, there was, it was still so Puritan.
Yeah, you still, right, you still had the swooners. You had these guys, right, over here kind of being pushed out. You still had this great music and things like that. Of that,
which I
like,
love, by the way, which I love.
It's great. It's great. It's a music I grew
Martin
up
with. Martin and all those guys. And though, if they would have really looked into them or looked into that type of music. And it was like, man, I mean, these guys would, they knew what they were doing and they were talented and this and that. But being involved in Vegas,
sure,
back in the 50s, that, sure, if anybody knows anything about Vegas, if as soon as you say the Rat Pack or
boom,
crooners in the 50s, yeah, at Vegas, people our age are going to know exactly what that means, you
know? Yeah. And also, like, with like, you know, Sinatra's suite, you know, which has been destroyed, I think it was at the Sands or something like that, and I think you know, the
Riviera
guys, yeah, I think one of the, or probably many people have gotten to get in there. You know, so that was supposedly haunted. There are a lot of like haunts around Vegas, but then we kind of get into, you know, the 50s were the 50s and people were starting to accept what was going on.
Right.
Then I don't know, this band kind of made, they kind of did a couple things, you know, of pissing off the church and things like that, and that would be the Beatles.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. You
know, when John came over and he's like, we're bigger than Jesus now, and then like, right, everybody that was like a churchgoer were like burning like Beatles records just, right, for like a statement. And he's right, like, right, I'm not saying that I'm bigger than Jesus, I'm just saying right now you know where we are. Like it's crazy. Right. Do you think it was crazy that even though we were advancing, you know, in America at that time, do you think it was crazy that people, you know, because I'm just going to say it and people can give me shit
just
if you
say
want
it
to.
Yeah. Okay.
So like 20 years before, we were fighting people that were burning books, and now, right, now in the middle of the street, we're burning records.
Right.
So, mm-hmm, which is art, right? Like, right, books are art. It's literature. You know, Kelly, you're writing a book. You know, I know many
It'll
authors.
It'll probably get burned.
No, it won't. Stop. You know, but it was very similar. And to me, when I look back at that, because it's kind of like turning point of, you know, the Beatles are still mop tops and things like that. And it was just like a statement, you know, and it's just like how one thing can just get you. If it was nowadays, could you imagine how canceled the Beatles would be?
Well, then you got to think about the Beatles and how they, I think their record was the first one where if you played it backwards, it said something satanic
Abbey Road
about it.
Yeah, it's Abbey Road. Cause Paul's in the picture of where he's barefoot, you know, right, and when you play it backwards, it's John saying Paul is dead.
Right.
Paul is dead. So
I can remember when that came out. Oh boy, all the records in the house got played backwards.
What else did you hear? Were you playing like Black Sabbath?
I didn't hear anything. Except, I'm like, that's just that, it's like listening to a squawk box during an investigation.
Right. It's just exactly.
You can't figure it out. It's like, ooh, did he say
you
like
can, you
how?
Can once you say, hey, I think I hear something, then your brain goes through, oh, get the file out to say, what can we put in there?
Pareidolia.
And then your brain, and then you put something in there and your brain says, oh, that's got to be what.
Right. Although I did hear some things this weekend, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? Time out.
I have to go to the bathroom, like really bad.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
It's that seltzer water.
Yeah. Dum, so, dum. You know, there's just been a lot of different reasoning why a lot of those bands were so much targeted, you know, going down from the Beatles to, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis or Elvis or whatever. And even in the
60s, because they were changing the norm.
Right. So the norm was getting changed. But yeah. I don't know. It's just kind of weird, you know, that you look back at it now and holy crap.
That's so funny. And he's back.
And he's back.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's fine. I understand completely.
I was not going to last.
No. There comes a point where it's like,
He's like, okay, I'm going to wave my hands at you and go, I have to go pee-pee.
Yeah, we didn't keep the conversation going.
We were talking about the Beatles, but when it was around that time, it started to get into, I guess, heavy metal or like really trippy stuff from like Pink Floyd. You know, Pink Floyd was dropping their first albums without Roger Waters. You know, they used to be called, you know, like trippy pink or whatever. You know, it was really
weird. It was psychedelic music.
Yeah.
And it was really weird. You know,
you had Zeppelin.
They got associated with drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
Zeppelin.
Right there.
You got Black Sabbath.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But so, to bring into a paranormal point to this is, I don't remember which group it was that started using the inverted pentagram as their symbol.
Probably Black Sabbath. I think it might be. Because Black Sabbath had like with Paranoid, they had that first thing, and it was just like that trippy picture with like somebody with a sword. But
that was Paranoid. That's what that was.
And then everybody was really kind of associating the songs with like Satan. Devil worship.
Satanism.
If you really listen to the songs, they are very socially conscious.
Right. Like, right.
If you
they're ballads.
Yeah. If you listen to like War Pigs, of how he just goes into like the people in power, you know, make everybody else do stuff while they just kind of sit back and laugh. And then guess what? Sometimes things can come back on them like tenfold. So I kind of associate that with like maybe witchcraft of like, you guys did this, now it's coming back on you. But then like Iron Man or some of the other tracks, you know, of that are kind of wishy-washy. Right. You know, you got Hendrix who's playing the guitar that's on fire. So people were going like, what is he doing? Why is he doing this? And just, I don't know if it was like associated too much with like, you know, the devil or stuff like that, but it was just weird to people.
It was basically theatrical.
It was shocking.
I know.
It was theatrical. I mean, case in point, look at Alice Cooper.
I was just thinking, biting the head off. We're
going to get into him because he's in the 70s. Yeah.
To be honest with you, people really don't know the history of Alice Cooper. His dad was a preacher.
I know. Mm-hmm. In Phoenix. Yeah. He went to Cortez High School right down the street from Apollo High School. So,
yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's just like, it's shock value, you know, and that's what a lot of that music is now. It's not the shock value. They want to shock the audience into, oh my God. Yeah. And it's not so much of an influence. It's just to shock them. But what they don't realize is when they create that shock rock or that music and all that theatrical stuff, it really can mess some people up.
Mm-hmm. But then you go back to where Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis Presley did their thing. That was shock stuff at that point, too.
Exactly.
It's just the shock gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah,
and bigger.
The shock is getting bigger.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean
what are they going to do? Blow up a stadium next?
No. But we'll talk about a certain band coming up here and things like that. But what I wanted to ask you, Kel, because, you know, you're really into like the mystical side of things.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And so... So do you think somebody could like spiritually be lifted by, say, like Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon?
Quite possibly.
Go ahead and just really kind of get into spiritually and say like they're studying like Reiki or witch magic or.
Well, there's it all has to do with frequency.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that. That's frequency.
It all has to do with frequency. And if you're in tune to that frequency, yes, it's going to lift you up. Yes, it's going to move you into doing something. And you have, it, for instance, if I want to do something, I've got meditation music going.
Yeah.
And just that whole nice, easy flowing, either that or it's classical, but mostly it's the meditation music. I flippin' love classical. I could sit there and just listen to it all flippin' day long.
Me too.
The music has a certain frequency to it. And yes, it can make people do stuff, but it's people that aren't aware of their own self to say, oh, that's the influence of the music doing that. Mm-hmm. I can move on and not have it be me. And where the thing that got me so upset when it came to the music was you're banning this just simply because they've put a pentagram on it.
Right.
I'm looking at Hebrew text with pentagrams on them. Are we going to ban those too? Oh, hell no. Those are sacred scriptures.
Didn't we leave a certain country to flee religious oppression and come here so we could have our own religions?
Ta-da!
I don't know.
Yeah. if you want to talk about Pink Floyd, their last album that they recorded is called Endless River.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard it?
No, I haven't.
Okay, you want to talk about awesome frequencies?
Mm-hmm.
That is partly my meditation music.
Oh wow! Okay,
I'm gonna start writing this stuff down.
Yeah, okay. it's a big album. It's like four or five parts.
So
and it's just it's phenomenal.
So Kel, I know you say you're music illiterate, and you probably know more about and Jay, you probably know more about this than I do. But what about like folk music, like during like the Inquisition or the Crusades, like if somebody came up with something funny about somebody, their head would get chopped off because it wasn't funny to them or things like that. So do you think there has been like musical oppression throughout like, I don't know, our time on this earth, you know,
there's been oppression of every single outlet of art in the world.
Yeah. Right,
every single art form has been oppressed because it engages our brain to access another portion of it
that
the Puritans don't want us to access. They want us to be these robots that do exactly what we're told, how we're told to do it, when we're told to do it. That's it.
When we start using
our brain for ourselves is when it just.
When you talk about the Puritans with the long dresses and like the covering on their heads and the long sleeves, it sounds something similar that we might want to know about. It's overseas and it's in the middle somewhere of where people aren't allowed to show things. And everybody can get my drift on that and stuff. And I don't want to get into that discussion, but then let's get into, and you know, Jay, you brought up Alice Cooper. And Alice Cooper really changed the game because a lot of the music, when they went to concerts, people were strumming their guitars and singing in front of like the microphone. Of course, you had, you know, like the different bands of like Zeppelin, who was really kind of individuals, like individuals, you know, with plant dancing around and his really tight jeans. And, you know, there was a great movie made about it, Spinal Tap, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Let's not get into Spinal Tap.
I know. That's
a Mike and Frank thing.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. But of how it kind of made fun of those bands at that time. But then also on Spinal Tap, they did have something paranormal and spiritual, but they made fun of it when they were like, let's have Stonehenge come down. And it was like that mini Stonehenge. And then like the little people came out and were dancing around. And like, you know, the lead singer's like, no, I wanted Stonehenge. And you're like, this is probably exactly how these rock and roll people are of like, I wanted a real Stonehenge. And they're like, that's like 4 acres, dude. Like, we can't have the real Stonehenge. It will take up like the whole concert.
Why is Monty Python coming to mind right now?
Well, I mean, they did The Life of Brian. They did, you know, they did, you know, The Holy Grail, you know, and
that was, you know, so, and, that was so funny.
And just, oh, you know, the songs that they were singing.
Monty Python.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
Monty Python just addresses so many issues that just in a way that
made fun of them to the point where.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just like you wonder how comical was that back then that they did these things.
It was so comical, but it was so well done and like kind of with like a well taste that I remember, you know, I was in Philadelphia at the time when that came out and I was very young, but my parents were like, you have to watch this because it's really, really funny. And so if you knew about like PBS growing up, like when, you know, when we were in our, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10, or 11, they would have like weird British shows on there, but the wit was so funny. And I think that's where I kind of get like my little sarcasm. I'm not as witty as a British person is because they just have it. It's in their genes. It's somewhere. Right. And they just can just come back like this. And you're like, well, I can't compete with that. But you're watching the Holy Grail going like, okay, so I don't kind of understand it. And when you watch it later, Inquisition, or, you know, right at the beginning of, you know, when he's coming out and they have the cart with people and he's going, arms for the poor. Arms for the dead. And he's like, well, I'm not dead yet. And he's like, so can you just kill him? And he's like, well, no, I'll do that. He's like, well, can you do it? And he's like, looks around and just hits him with a club. you're like, ah, this is funny. So you know, but with Cooper, like really kind of getting that and really kind of staging stuff and really kind of grossing people out at that time because they were freaked out because they really thought like he chopped his own head off with like a guillotine.
Right, you know,
mm-hmm. or having these big monsters. And you know, it really goes into like his shock jock value and his like record sales. And plus he had like some of the great anthems of, you know, 18 or, you know, Schools Out for Summer. Those were great songs for us. We're like, you know, Dazed and Confused really has it great of all of us throwing our papers up going like, fuck this place. We don't want to be around here anymore. Right. Go for the summer.
So what about, I mean, we're talking about this. What about Kiss? I mean, Kiss was nice. Yeah, I mean,
they got a demon.
Service.
They got a demon, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and he's getting blood and fire. Well,
yeah.
They did it to the top of the world.
Shock value.
Yeah, they did it to the top of the world and kept it there for a while, whether you like their music or not.
Right.
I've seen them 3 times, and there's not an empty seat in the house.
No.
Right.
Not one. Not one.
And I don't think anymore that any kind of association with Satan or pentagrams or anything like that has anything to do with music. I don't think it even has a shock value to me anymore.
Well, there's some stuff that is out there, Kelly, of like when you get into the thrash death metal.
That's
you know,
not
like
happening.
Cannibal Corpse or you know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's like noise.
There is one group, and I don't know if you know who they are, but you should look them up. And their music isn't that good, but their stage show is absolutely incredible.
You're talking like, about GWAR.
Absolutely.
Oh my god. Oh,
yeah. I knew you were going with that.
Oh, I cannot believe it.
For like D&D or for that supernatural feel of just this kind of fantasy world or things like that. I'll tell you, I've seen some good people in concert and I've listened to some good records. And those guys put on the best show because everybody's into it. And you all know what you're getting. The music's shit. It's really shit, and we can debate that if you want to, but it's really not that good. The stage show, it's so great.
Like, really?
If they know who GWAR is, I mean, they've had probably, from what our buddy Mikey says,
Mikey's
they've rotated. there's, I mean, this, they're not the original members. I mean, they started out in college back in the, what was it, the 80s?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, they've had probably a round table of different members.
It's like Menudo.
Yeah. I mean, it's just constant, constant. You know, so
they're
going
to influence the young to be bad people.
Yeah. Oh, of course they are. Yeah. Because, everything they do on stage is real.
3 year olds are going to hear them and grow up killing and murdering people and worshiping Satan. Oh, and
they have been dragged through the mud and they just kind of laugh at it and go, it's just a stage show. Relax.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're saying what we're doing is bad, but then somebody can watch the TV show that you're on, and there's like 10 people killed, and nobody bats an eye at. But
nobody flinches.
So
they tune into shows to see people killed.
Oh, yeah. So gore is really cool. And then like kind of after that, I mean, you have Iron Maiden, which is really good. You know, I mean, you know, some of their albums, you know, 666, the Number of the Beast, and they have, you know, the big Eddie demon come out and, you know,
that was a big deal back then in the '80s when that album came out. I mean, there were so many people.
What about the coup de grace of everything, which is Ronnie James Dio?
Ronnie James Dio, who was a talented singer, and
album Holy Diver,
Rainbow, and
yeah.
I mean, you know, with Rainbow and with Black Sabbath, and
yeah,
you know, I liked
him. I should have gotten a stand-in for me tonight.
No, you're fine.
No, you're fine.
No. We're at the bar and you're sitting in the middle of us just going like,
yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I'm on my phone. I'll take another bar.
Yeah.
Can I get another beer? All right. I'll so there we beer. Go.
Thanks.
Jane,
okay.
I,
so
Jane
what,
I
about,
are having seltzers
what about,
with lime.
What about how, when all of this first started happening, like about 1968, where groups were being pinpointed as devil worshippers and things like that. What about how, where primetime media picked this up?
Well,
that would have been the first time would have been Judas Priest, I think.
Well, yeah, Judas Priest and Twisted Sister, and that was around the time when Al Gore was still a senator in Tennessee, and his wife started the PMRC of trying to get our lyrics, like censor all the lyrics. And what they wanted to do was put a sticker on like the CDs or albums that we were buying saying, this is PG-13. This is R.
Oh yeah. They wanted the ratings on the album.
And we all just went like this and we smiled because they passed it. And we're like, all right, well,
that's awesome because it made the sales
go
through the roof.
This.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Because they didn't pass any age limitations on the music. They just wanted a sticker on there. So when there was that sticker on there, then we're like, oh yeah, I'm buying this because this is gonna really offend my parents and everything like that.
And
in which version of Nine Inch Nails do I want? The one with the sticker or the one without the sticker? I'll take the one with the sticker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's got some pretty provocative songs on the first album.
Right.
But you know, but then, you know, I mean, you know, going through the late '70s, early '80s with me, like with punk music, my mom would be like, what is that? That's so horrible. It's so stupid. And I go, Mom, I know some of these guys. They're classically trained musicians.
Yes.
Because you have to be. And obviously you have like the, you know, the rock chords of where it can just go down and this like that. Yeah. But when they start, it was, you know, sometimes they're like, just because they have scraggly hair and they smoke pot on the beach, they're devil worshippers. Like,
they're devil worshippers.
Yeah.
They
you know what
the
they're
devil's
doing?
Weed.
You know what they're doing? They found a gimmick to make money, and that's what they're doing.
Right. And that's what a lot of these people, parents didn't realize this, that it was all about making money. These guys knew. There were certain punk rockers that just wanted to.
Oh yeah, Shock Value also.
Gene Simmons, a stink eye to the establishment, but
yeah.
Gene Simmons is the king of promotions.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. Hands down.
The man has it.
Yeah. He does. He does. Yeah.
And he sells everything. It on that
he even sold Kiss coffins. He sold Kiss coffins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The guy could sell a ketchup popsicle to a lady in white gloves. Remember that movie?
Which one, Jay? I'm sorry.
Tommy Boy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. My God.
Oh, my gosh.
Callahan Audio. Auto. Sorry. Callahan yeah. Oil, I think it was. No, nope,
Callahan Auto.
Oh, Auto? Okay, mm-hmm. There we go. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's just one of those things of where you kind of look back to what we've kind of grown up with. And I know we're all old and stuff like that, so people will probably even remember some of these bands.
We're talking about.
And they'll be like, okay, this one kind of stunk, but it won't. Is you just have to learn the history and how people were oppressed because of maybe their beliefs, you know, because Paige bought Aleister Crowley's house at Loch Ness. So everybody
that's a show all its own.
Yeah, but it's just those little things that happen of what they would do and just be like, okay, this place is run down and it's gross and I'm never going to stay here. But for shock value and for what we have, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it for promotional wise.
Right. You know?
And they were making hand over foot. Those guys didn't stop touring for like 19 years.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the only way you make money in the music business, you know,
right.
of shock right. value, touring, right. you know, and doing really well. And so I think kind of music kind of goes hand in hand with the paranormal. You know, whether it be the old Halloween records that we had that we put on when people were trick or treating and things like that, or, you know, some of the more ominous music that you get, you know, with some of the really great, you know, not the gore horror or things like that, but just like maybe like The Witch of having that horror music or having right. this and just different things of how it is. And I think it really kind of brought us to a place of really enjoying music for what it was. Cause now we look back on that music and we're like, man, come on. It's really good. You know,
right.
Some of it isn't.
And talking about, you know, some of the paranormal aspects of that too is, you know, a lot of these kids, because of this music, because of some of these bands.
Well, they were actually conceived during some of the music. So.
Yeah.
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 You know,
they were brought on trial for it too. Yeah.
Right. You know, but I mean, influenced as in some of these bands that have that strange spookiness or whatever, mm-hmm. that some of them bands can contribute to them wanting to be in the paranormal or discovering yeah. what's mm-hmm. life after death. And
sure. Sure.
You know what I mean? So some of that probably opened the door because I guarantee you that you probably don't want to, if you put this collaboration together, you're not going to want to listen to a Beach Boys album. And well, hey, now I really want to look into what happened. I know, but I mean the mainstream Beach Boys.
Yeah,
it's not going to make them say, "Hey, now I really know what happens after you die."
Yeah,
listening to Black Sabbath now, and then they're listening to some of those songs, and even Judas Priest and all this other stuff. They're like, "Wow, that's really kind of weird," you know. And so the songs and the albums and the groups, they all kind of go hand with what genre they are focusing on, you know, and all these people, like I said, you're not going to listen to Dean Martin and say, oh, wow, I really, what happens when you die? Cause I really want to meet a ghost. No, I mean, you know, I mean,
borrow scotch and
right,
three
right.
women one night.
Right.
And that's okay with the church, but don't sing
right,
about
right, right. But about so, else, but then you so. You get there's songs out there with certain groups that talk about death.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate and I used to listen to them, and I don't listen to them anymore. But there is Slayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so then you've got that shock value of that group back in the '80s of haunting the church or. Okay. Hell Waits and all those things of that genre kind of could contribute to some of these guys. I listened to it, you know, but I was just like, you know, I changed directions, but there's some people that haven't, and they say that, you know, it's just that whole spookiness and that creepiness and that scariness and all that.
Yeah.
And I guarantee that if you probably ask 9 out of 10 paranormal investigators our age, what'd you listen to when you were a kid?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking, Jay, about pagan music, which is now fairly popular.
Yeah.
I mean, pagan music's just all over the board with regards to dark to light.
Right. And a lot of that is folk music too now. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah, there's so many different things, different genres of music now, you know what I mean? But it's basically kind of molding into one lane.
True.
The other ones, the shock value for music, like the death metal, heavy metal, there's goth metal, there's, you know, what is it? Black metal. And
yeah.
Now, my friend I work with, Mikey, and knows Kelly, and Kelly knows Mikey. He is a connoisseur of all music. His favorite band was Beatles.
Sure.
So
still mine.
You know what I mean? And so, but he listens to all this stuff now on Spotify. He listens to basically the music of thrash and death metal. And
doesn't he listen to that one weird band too?
Which one?
Gwar.
I think he saw Gwar.
More like a lion drunk.
Right. I think he saw him in concert. Actually,
you don't listen to him. You just go see him in concert, and then you just get sprayed with blood. So don't take anything that you go to like a Target and buy like the cheapest pair of jeans and like the cheapest shirt.
Yeah.
And then like have 10 bottles of water so you can wash yourself off afterwards and get changed. Yeah. You're going to be drenched in blood. So,
right.
Absolutely. Right.
So there's so many different things out there, you know, and it's just like, if you really actually think about it, that music has played a big role in the paranormal field.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And it's just,
I agree with you, my friend.
And I don't think people quite realize that it's what you've listened to. It's what you fed your brain with, good or bad, whatever it is, whatever you're into, it's whatever you're into. You know, it's not, we're not condemning any music.
No, we have to stop condemning the arts for atrocities in society. Mm-hmm. That's just 100%. All there is to it. I mean, all they're doing is reporting it in an artistic form. That's all they are doing.
Right.
The atrocities are going to continue, whether we like it or not. And it's going to be reported in news. It's going to be reported in art. It's going to be reported in every single outlet we have as humans to express ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Very true. Very true.
And some of it may be very, very messed up and something that I wouldn't want to look at or listen to, but that's not for me to judge. I mean, not for me to, if it's not my cup of tea, then it's not my cup of tea. But it may be the guy down the street that likes it. But that's his outlet for artistic, you know, whatnot. Mm-hmm. You know, so everybody's different. That's what a lot of people don't understand is everybody's different.
All right, so let's kind of like wrap this up a little bit. Jay, what do you have coming up, and where can people find you on social media?
What do I have coming up? Oh, well, we have a Cemetery Files has a show on
Monday.
Yes, we do.
Give the date. Give the date.
2/5.
Yep. February 5th at noon.
Night.
Monday.
Yep.
Way to go.
VPR, Veterans Paranormal Recon is the people that are coming on the show.
Okay.
And let me see what else I got going on.
He's doing remote viewings for Teams.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm doing remote viewings for Teams. And that's one thing I kind of wanted to touch on is the fact that people who are investigating a location and they're having trouble getting like EVPs or anything on their equipment or whatever, and they need some help with somebody to kind of discover what's there, they could just tap me and, you know, find me on social media. I'm on every platform under JD Hill on
you Facebook. You need to make a flyer of that, dude. So
he does.
I'll do that for you.
Yeah, so I can share it out to multiple places, man, and have no, some you people real. Well, yeah, and no.
He said no.
I already have to do everything over again, Kel. Everything I have to redo over again, like business cards.
I know.
Rollouts.
But look at how good the energy level is. Just go with that.
So did you think that? Did you think that this weekend?
I did.
You
watch? It was really awesome. I did. I watched and I'm concerned about you. I care for you.
Well, I appreciate
and
that.
Yeah. I want to make sure that you had a good decision made. And yeah, it worked.
Yeah. She's incredible. It's Ashley. So we're going to be recording throughout the month of February. We don't do lives. So our premiere, we will not have it on the 5th. We will have it on let me look at the date here. See, look at how prepared I am. We're going to have it on 2/7. That's a Wednesday because OHL is always on Wednesday nights. And that will be 8 p.m. Eastern time. 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Paraflix, right?
Yeah, on Paraflix. You could go to Paraflix and do the 3-day free trial. It is $30 annually or $3.99 a month. If you want 25% off your first year of the annual cost, put in OHL25 and I can get you 25% off. So
I wish I had that when I signed up for a year.
Well, you can just quit and do it again. You just have to have a new email address. So, I know ways to do this around. There's some other things that are going on. We'll be back on the road probably in March. I think I've got three events in March, which is just going to be crazy. I do know that I will be up in Ohio for ParapsychCon. So I'll be up there with Natalie Jones promoting Paraflix and our Haunted Lives. So it's going to be a really great time. So Kel, what do you have coming up?
I have got February starting to book up with investigations, starting with our clients. We've got three clients that we're working with right now that we're going to get back out there now that winter is coming to an end.
Winter is coming.
Yes. And we're going to do our annual trek out to our annual 15-mile trek out to the Octagon Hall, where we're going to be doing training seminars with our current team. Team is 15 people.
All right.
I'm
well,
so
that's
proud
a lot
of them.
Of people.
Proud of them.
A lot of people for the Octagon.
They that's are crazy. Awesome. Well, yeah, I don't know if we're going to have everybody out there at once, but I'm going to have most of the new beebs out.
I wish I had a spooky location like 15 miles from where I'm at, because it would be
it's
so much
a blessing.
Easier. It really is, Kel. Like
I need a freaking flyer program with the Octagon Hall.
I had to drive to Worcester, Massachusetts during that storm.
I'm sorry.
Okay. But there's no other time that I couldn't get into this place. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one of the places where it doesn't let anybody in. There's only been a few people that have been in there. So, and I can tell you the name off the air. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being here. I haven't seen you guys in so long. Thank you.
I know. It's been a long time.
Jay, take us home, buddy.
We make this every other week.
Hey, everybody, you will be able to find this because I'm going to pretty much release this within the next day. I'm not going to wait. I'm just going to release it.
Because it's been a while.
I've got
people calling saying, when's the next one coming out?
Yeah. So... I also wanted to mention before we go, Studio 6 Media Productions now has partnered up with Bree Hollingshed from Road Tripping with Bree. Mm-hmm. And you can find a lot of her investigative stuff and her videos on Studio 6 Productions page on Facebook. And she's also on Twitter and everywhere else. So, yeah, we'll be working in close with her about her next investigations and stuff like this. And then we've got some other things going on.
So happy to hear that.
Yeah. Me and Kelly have something going on with a new show. Ed, that we are very excited about. Once we iron out all the details, we will
awesome
be sure to let everybody know.
We'll be announcing.
But so this one will be up within a day, so you'll be able to hear it. And all these people that are listening now, which will be probably tomorrow, we want to thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you.
You will be
thank
able
you. To
all where you get your podcasts, everywhere. So
it's your turn next time, Jay.
It is. Yeah, it's
your turn.
Hey.
Yeah, your turn.
All right.
All right.
All right. We will talk to you later.
See you down the road.
Bye.